And I believe our last item on for today, action required, item F, judicial branch education. Modifications and revisions proposed for new judge education. And we welcome the chair of our education committee or division, Judge Justice Dondero. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Be here. Okay. Basically, as the chair of CJUR, I'm here to essentially present to you the working group's report and the report which was approved by the CJUR governing board. Just a bit about the evolution of that report. In 2011, Dr. Caudry was basically at a meeting of the presiding judges, and it was raised that there was the amount of time that judges spent attending education programs, especially new judges attending education programs, and they're away from the courts. We have an understanding that under CRC, there's a lot of rules which deal with judicial education, and we are also directed that with the funding issues of the courts, we had to visit the issue of judicial education for the costs involved, as well as the time away from the county courts themselves, the trial courts. Based upon that, CJUR decided that it was appropriate at this time to have an evaluation of judicial education, particularly new judge orientation, the college, and primary assignment obligations of trial court judges. In 2012, the governing committee decided to create a work group who would be obligated to review those three areas and report back to the governing committee with their findings about what could be done, how is it operating, and what could be done to perhaps cut some of the features of judge education, especially new judge education in California. In October of 2012, after the committee members were selected, the working group members were selected, and you can see their names on the board there, they submitted their report, which Judge O'Malley, being a member of, will talk about in a couple of minutes. And we had an opportunity to review it, discuss it, and on February of this year, the governing committee adopted the report of the working group, and we are now presenting to you that particular study and ask for your approval of the report, along with the letter from Judge Jarr discussing his assessment of the quality of the report. And also, you have the full report itself, along with a summary of that particular report. I'm going to let Judge O'Malley talk about the process, and then I have a couple of other things to come to your attention with regarding what we've done since the approval of the working group report at the end of her remarks. Judge O'Malley.
Hello again, everyone. So the work group, as you can see, had 10 members, four of which were PJs, past or present. Two of the committee members were appointed from the Trial Court Presiding Judge Advisory Committee by Judge Rosenberg. I believe it was Chris Chandler and Janet Gard. We had attendees on that committee from small, medium, and large courts and from all over the state. So we had a good representation. Plus, everybody on that committee, for the most part, I think, I'm not sure about Judge Chandler, but everybody's taught, done a lot of teaching for CJUR and for a lot of programs. So everybody on there was very familiar with a lot of the work of CJUR. And so our charge was to determine the most effective and efficient way to provide education to California's new judges. In that first 2 years, judges that are just appointed go through the college, which is a two-week process, NJO, which is a five-day, one-week program, as well as the primary assignment orientation, which is another week. And that's to whatever assignment the presiding judge is going to appoint them to. So there were, you know, some concerns, as Justice Dondero has mentioned, of that's a lot of time away from court for a judge, and it's tough on the everybody else that's left there to cover those calendars. So is there a better way to do this, knowing that it's a really important first 2 years of a new judge's experience to be able to get proper training, proper education, so that you learn it the right way the first time and so you don't get into trouble. There were a couple of things that even those of us on the committee who've taught a lot learned that we didn't know before. For instance, it had been a long time since most of us had been to the college. It had been a long time since most of us had been to new judge orientation. And some of us, having changed assignments, probably had been to a primary assignment orientation within the last 5 years or so. So that was something we were more familiar with. What we didn't realize is all the changes that have been made to new judge orientation, the one-week program, and the college since we'd all been there. There have been a lot of changes. I taught new judge orientation this last May. The curriculum is completely different from the previous times that I've taught it, and I've been teaching new judge orientation since 2000, so a long time. It's gone through a lot of different changes, and this last class that I had in May was, again, a brand new curriculum that was created. You know, everybody kind of dreaded that first 2.5 days of ethics, and that really got a lot of guff. So what we've done is we have kind of interwoven into all subject matters of everyday dealings that a judge has with ethics. So we talk about issues that arise and how you get through those logistically and efficiently and, you know, run your calendars properly. And then what are the ethical considerations that you have to also consider in getting through that calendar efficiently and correctly? So it kind of has put a whole new face on new judge orientation. Lots of rave reviews about new judge orientation. New judges find it to be just a very valuable week of education. The college, you know, the one great thing that CJR has done is they, and the SEC report highlighted this, is that they are consistently asking for feedback. They send out those questionnaires to all participants and say, what did you like? What did you like about this class? What did you like about this instructor? What could have been changed? How were the materials? And so they get lots of feedback. And there was a survey done in 2010, I think, that elicited information from people who had attended the college for the last 5 years. 37 pages, single-spaced, of people's thoughts on the college. And it was interesting to me because everybody said, oh my gosh, it was so long. And I remember it being so long. But when they were really pressed about what you would change about it, so what would you cut out? What would you take out? They might have an idea or so, but really thought, oh my gosh, I'm not quite sure exactly what I would change. And when they really had to think about what should be deleted, it was a lot tougher issue. And CJR's been thinking about these things all the way through. They have taken out certain things. They took out family for a year or so and just got a lot of complaints from small courts that said, you got to put family back in. Those judges need to know that sooner than later. So they put family back in. They took out juvenile still out, because that can really be covered more thoroughly at the primary assignment orientation. So there have been changes. And when people said, you know, what they would do about the college, they just kind of threw out a number. Yeah, it should be 6 days. Yeah, it should be 8 days. But really had no idea about how you'd make up the classes in that 8 days. And again, what it is that you would actually cut out. So our committee really looked at that quite intently and tried to figure out what you would take out, what you would change. And when we looked at the curriculum and what was needed and looked over the critiques of what people liked and disliked about the college, they've pretty much narrowed it down. They've taken a day out, and it's about as chiseled down as it can get. We looked at changing it from separating the weeks, and it wasn't cost-effective. It didn't really change anything, and it would make it very hard for people to get back the second week, including the instructors. So that was a disaster. So, you know, I hate to say it, but we kind of came to the conclusion that there are always changes, little maneuverings here and there to try and make this better. But for the first 2 years of a judge's career, when they need the education the most, this is, at least for now, knowing that it'll consistently be looked at and consistently trying to be improved, it should remain the same. And it doesn't mean the same as when we all went 15, 16 years ago. It's a lot different from them. But as it is now, that was what the work group came up with. The only one thing that we really have been working on is the overlap between the primary assignment orientation and the other classes. And that has been really whittled down to really get rid of the unnecessary overlap. The necessary overlap is there is because CJP told us that they have had an increase of complaints of judges within their first 3 years. Demeanor issues, basically not advising people correctly of their rights and so forth, and that's just not getting the training that they need in a timely fashion. So it's within the first 3 years. So that overlap is there for a purpose to be able to cover those judges that are most susceptible to that type of error.
Yeah, let me underscore that point. Two things. First of all, it is true that we have received from the director of CJP a letter in 2011 reflecting that roughly 30% of all the complaints that CJP receives are from judges in their first 3 years of sitting on the bench. And these complaints are basically they haven't made the shift from being lawyers to being judges, that they suffer seriously from authority problems, that they have demeanor issues, that they have bias, and they have problems of ensuring the rights of the litigants that are in front of them. And this isn't a one-shot observation, because Ms. Henley pointed out also that the year before they had seen the spike in the increase of these particular complaints with CJP also. So we do have an emphasis on judicial education in the beginning, because that's where we're seeing the problems of people not acting like judges in the beginning of their judicial career. This was a concern of CJP, and obviously for the branch, it's something that we should be very concerned about also. I also want to point out that the governing committee, along with Judge O'Malley, appeared before the trial judges advisory group at a meeting in Sacramento after the seizure adopted the report of the work group. And we appeared before them to get their input on the study. And the only topic that was discussed with us at that meeting of the executive committee of the PJs was the concern about the assigned judges program and the funding of the assigned judges program for those judges that either teach or are students at the various education programs.
They're worried about getting coverage.
Yeah, and basically that was answered, and the money is there, and Chad is here if you have any more questions about that particular subject. Judge Coffin.
Not only that, is the did you consider costs involved when you decided what is the cost to run a two-week program?
Yeah,
and a one-week program?
Absolutely.
What was the result of that?
Oh, the exact numbers in front of you right now?
Yeah, other than that, Marianne, go ahead. No, but does it make sense?
And they're still continuing to look at, especially we're looking at the prospect of a primary assignment orientation down south, you know, and looking at the cost-benefit analysis of that and how you would be able to do that. And the college right now in that Dulce Hayes mansion, it's not really a mansion, but it's the cheapest place, far better than Clark Kerr. And if those of you who remember the little silverfish that would run across your mattress at Clark Kerr, it's better and cheaper.
I also want to tell the council that last Tuesday, Seizure, along with all the judges who chair the advisory committees on curriculum, and the staff members of Seizure that we have, we had a meeting all day in which we implemented a very sound plan for the education program of 2014-2016, which is the next education plan we're working on, which involves cost-benefit analysis principles being applied to all high-end programs that CJER is providing. And that was fully discussed with the chairs of the various curriculum committees and also with the members of the CJER governing board, so that we will have an obligation to make sure as best we can that cost-benefit analysis principles are carried into any programs that CJER puts on.
Judge Hardcastle, Judge Rosenberg, Commissioner Alexander, was your hand also?
This is a vocal wing, I guess. But I just wanted to point out that when I first came on the bench, I thought it was an awful lot of education thrown at me at one time. But when you start amortizing it over what you hope will be a 20-year career, it isn't a whole lot of time. And it is extremely valuable. And I would really urge the council not to cut back on education at all. It's just so important. I think it's critical.
I just wanted to say that you're on the absolute right track. I completely agree with your recommendations. I just wanted to supplement them in one respect. And this sort of goes beyond your recommendations. You have raised an issue about the CJP's concern with brand new judges in terms of demeanor, in terms of maybe being argumentative, authoritarian, you know, how to be a judge.
Right.
And my concern is that there's an awful lot of judges who are judges before they can get to NJO. I mean, you know, weeks, months may go by.
Well, we try and get them there within 4 months.
That's a long time. So I would like to see if we can explore perhaps working with the PJs. I think it's really important that every new judge on day one gets an experienced mentor who can work with that judge from day one about those things that are raised by CJP, like demeanor, explaining a person's rights, being patient. I think that's important.
Kelly, I came from San Francisco. I mean, when I was a new judge on the bench, you were assigned a mentor judge. I don't know if the other counties have continued that practice.
But it's...
sometimes they want a mentor judge from outside of county.
But I think it's really important to let the PJs know what the specific concerns are. It's one thing to be assigned a mentor judge and that person says, hi, how are you? Let me take you to lunch. But it's quite another to talk about these issues.
A mandatory class at the college, it's called The Art of Judging. It's a new class. It's relatively new. And it's basically about that. How do you really become a judge? And how do you do it with respect and dignity in the way that you're supposed to do it? And it's a mandatory class. It's in the first week of the college, and it's fabulous. And
so... the only concern is the interim.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
NJO and the college.
Yeah. Now, I know that the rationale for when I was told why they like to wait about 4 months is that the person at least has an idea of what it is you're dealing with, as opposed to going there the day after you're appointed and not even having any idea what it is to be a judge. So there is some period of time, and you have to have some experience hanging out there before you do go to NJL, so you do have a perspective.
Commissioner Alexander.
I have also done a lot of teaching. I do a lot of the orientation courses, and I wanted to say that I really like the fact that you promoted face-to-face, in-person education, because I think there is a push with the economics to go away from that. And I do think that we can look at what subjects matters need it more than others and try to deal with some long-distance education in areas that aren't as prevalent for discussion, for different ways that different courts might do it, for different people's experiences. But I think that we need to still focus on the fact that that is a really good way, because it's the environment that people have and the discussions that they have that they benefit from that. And the other thing I wanted to point out was the letter that you included from Judge Rothman.
Yes.
Yeah.
With regard to the benefit of having lawyers in at CJR, as an instructor, and I do a course that lasts a whole week, to prepare all the materials for that, to make sure that they're legally correct, to make sure that they've kept up with all the new case law, to make sure that they've kept up with the new statutes, we wouldn't probably teach. Because to do that in addition to my day job, I couldn't do it.
And it needs to be done correctly.
That's
one of the things that I think is important, is to make sure that that's done right. And I know a lot of people wouldn't teach, and we need to be able to trust the information that we're being provided.
For the first 2 years, it's important that those new judges get the face-to-face experience so that they can ask questions in a safe environment. you know, and online they're not going to put themselves out there to be able to ask a question. And when you're in a setting such as NJO where it's 12 people, you're learning from other colleagues what they're saying, and they can really ask questions that they need the answer and they need help in a safe environment. Same with the college. So the face-to-face for new judges we found was critical, the work group.
So after Judge Jacobson, I'm going to call the question. Judge Jacobson?
I just want to echo what Commissioner Alexander has said about the extremely high value that I've found. I've done a lot of seizure teaching, and having the coordinator of the program be an attorney who's able to add legal help, legal assistance, someone to bounce ideas off of, and to relieve you of a little bit of the burden of the preparation of the materials. And that there has been some discussion over the last year about to save budget, about moving towards people who are not licensed lawyers. And I think that it may be that one of the highest functioning aspects that we have as a branch is our education. And we should be very cautious before we begin to dismantle that aspect of it. And then I would have a motion to adopt this recommendation.
Justice Miller.
I just wanted to make a comment, too, and I just wanted to thank Justice Dondero and Judge Marianne O'Malley for having the initiative to look at this. It fits in with the directives that the Judicial Council adopted from SEC. It fits in with our concern of all of us at the Judicial Council about budgetary issues at the AOC. And you have been very responsive to those concerns. I know through Kurt Child and through Diane Cowdery that those issues are continuing to be looked at, and you have been very responsive. And just from my perspective and from the members of ENP, we just wanted to thank you for that, and we appreciate the time and energy that you put into the report and all that you're doing in helping us with this team approach to looking at business aspects and cost-cutting aspects. So thank you very much,
thank
and I'll second the motion.
So, Judge Jacobson, you make the motion to adopt, as indicated in the written materials, items 1 through 5, seconded by Justice Miller. No further discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I think I should abstain since I was on the work group.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your work, and we appreciate the education and its ongoing quality.
Thanks.
We're going to conclude today's meeting, as we always do, unfortunately, with a brief remembrance of our judicial colleagues recently deceased, all of whom were retired from the bench. The Honorable Harry Ackley, Superior Court of Yolo County. The Honorable Robert Thomas, Superior Court of Orange County. The Honorable Henry Broderick, Superior Court of Marin County. And the Honorable Raymond Hall, San Diego Municipal Court. We honor them for their service to the courts and to the cause of justice. We stand in recess until our July 25th meeting, where we will be discussing budget plus more. Thank you. Okay.